CTK. Come on, let's stand to our feet and worship the King of Kings. Come on. You can do, oh God, of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. Cause there's no prison, all you can't break through, no. Mountain you can move, oh, things are possible. And there's no broken body you can break, no soul that you can save, oh, things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up, you can light it up. Why should my heart fear what you defeated? I will trust you alone. Cause there's no prison, all you can break through. No mountain you can move, all things are possible. And there's no broken body you can raise. Only you can take on things impossible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh, God, a revival. Let hope arise. Let the hope come. You've already won. How many people this morning want to see revival in this city? See revival in this land, in this country? Come on, just lift your hands this morning as we worship and declare this in this house. Come on.
Come awaken the people. Come awaken the city. Open the revival. Pour it out. Pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. The ground, a lot of revival, pouring out, pouring out.
Come on.
Come awaken your people, come awaken this city. Oh God, a revival, pouring out, pouring out. Every stronghold will crumble, I hear the chains in the ground. Revival, pour it out, pour it out.
of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will come. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible. And there's no broken body you can't break, no soul that you can't save, things are possible, all things are possible.
We just want to declare that he is our champion. He has defeated hell, death, and the grave. And he is seated in heavenly places with all authority. That is the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve.
I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. That you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken thing and raise them to glory. My champion, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place. I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. This is my victory. And you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, and I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Thank you. and Jesus has given me. And you are my champion. Giants, oh, when you stand undefeated, every battle you won, and I am who you say. In the heavenly place, undefeated by the power of your name, I am seated. In the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Come on, church, can we sing this together? You are.
And you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, and I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
Hallelujah.
To a place of freedom.
on, put your hands together this morning. Come on. And just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on.
God, on the day we celebrate our nation's birth, we place our faith in you. You are the one who gives us freedom. You have endowed us with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And may we pursue you with the passion that you first pursued us. As we celebrate our great nation, we remember the sacrifice and turmoil that this country was born out of, and that continues to shape us today. We know that you are not done here. We know that we are far from perfect, and we know that you have a plan. We pause to remember that you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture. Help our country turn toward you. Bring revival to this nation. Give our leaders clear vision and sober minds. Bring peace and justice to our schools, and unite us all as brothers and sisters. God, we ask that your kingdom would come, and come quickly. May peace and prosperity come to your children living in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen.
Amen. Happy Independence Day. Welcome here. My name is Stephen Bollinger. I'm on the communications team here at CTK. And on behalf of all of us, welcome. Whether you join us in person or online, we're so glad we can gather together as a community this morning and worship a God who gave us our freedom, right? A God that would send his own son to this world to die on a cross, to forgive us of our sins, so we have the freedom someday to live with him in heaven now and forevermore. Is that not amazing? Can we just lift up a round of applause to God for that? But I do want to make you aware of a few things that are coming up. One that's coming up this month is Vacation Bible School, coming to a backyard near you. If you haven't heard about this or you don't know exactly where these Vacation Bible Schools are, definitely check out the information booth before you leave today, or jump on the website, ctkcharlotte.org, and click on the events tab, so we can get all the kids and families plugged in this summer to a Vacation Bible School experience. But speaking of experience, these VBSs or Vacation Bible Schools aren't just for kids. If you're a parent or a friend or just someone who wants to help out with VBS, I know we are in need of a lot of volunteers. So if you want to help put together curriculum, maybe assemble some prizes or props that the kids can use during these times, please note that on your communications card or connection card in front of you or in the lobby, or shoot us an email at the website so we can get you plugged into a space that's near you. But we're looking forward to it. I hope you guys are as well. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Another thing to be aware of, this coming Sunday, or next Sunday, we are doing baptisms here at CDK. So if you're at a point in your walk with Christ, or maybe you've never been baptized but want to learn more about it and want to be a part of the baptismal Sunday next Sunday, please, I encourage you to go to the website, click on the baptism tab. It'll be on the screen behind me as well. Or talk to our team in the lobby before you leave. It's going to be an amazing Sunday of just seeing people renew their relationship with Christ or start anew in Christ. And as a church body, we're designed not to walk that walk alone. So as we're all gathered here, we get to encourage and walk with people as they make that commitment next week, and we hope you'll be a part of it and be here as well. Last but not least, on the announcement side, we do offer communion in the prayer chapel each and every Sunday. So if you guys would like to partake in communion and be a part of that, it is between the 9:30 and 11 o'clock services, just out these doors to the left in the prayer chapel at 10:40 each and every Sunday. So don't forget that, as we have volunteers and prayer partners in there serving the sacrament of Holy Communion each Sunday. Also, I want to take a moment to talk about our offering here at CTK, and take a moment in service just to reflect on that and pray over that, because offering is an interesting thing. It keeps this ministry going. It is the lifeblood of who we are. Without your generosity, nothing you see here today or the ministries that CTK is involved in are possible. So first off, I want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you here today or joining us online for your generosity. We're literally here because of you, because of your time and your talents and your treasures that you give each and every week here to CDK. So I want to say thank you. But I also want to bring to light some of the ministries that you're offering supports. And the one today is our middle schoolers. We had 16 middle schoolers go to church camp this past week, and there'll be a video going on behind me. And it was just an amazing time. I got a chance to catch up with Kyle Hearn, and he was just telling us about how God was working in the hearts and the lives of these middle schoolers as they were able to live life together and really dig into the Word of God. And I think the coolest thing he told me was the fact that out of the 16 that went, each and every one of them was able to commit their lives to Christ, either for the first time in their life, or to renew that commitment from where they are in middle school going forward in their life. And I don't know if everyone here remembers when they were a young adult or a middle schooler, but I know at that age, that was tough. And I just want to lift up applause to everyone that went on that trip and just encourage them on the commitment they made. So really, just lift up applause with me today, please. It's just amazing to see what God can do through those things. And those things are possible through us giving back, giving our time to be with those kids as chaperones on that trip, to give our time, our talents, and our treasures here. So I want to thank you. And I want to just take a moment to bless this offering as we think about giving it. God, we come to you as one church, and not the little church of CTK, God, but your big church, the Bride of Christ. And we just do thank you for everything you've given us. Both our time, our talents, our treasures, and just the lives, God, that we get to live on this earth while we're here. God, we pray that we would use, that you could use our lives to your glory, and that you would just come into this place and fill our hearts today, and that you would transform our lives once more to have us continue to just feel and realize the love and the passion and the commitment you have to our hearts and lives. God, we ask all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Without further ado, I want to continue our worship with a message with Sarah Green.
Good morning, church. How are you guys this morning? Good. Well, as Stephen said, my name is Sarah Green, and I work here on staff in the areas of children's ministry and outreach, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning to be able to bring the Word of God. But as we just start off today, I just ask that we would just open in prayer and just give this time over to God. So Heavenly Father, we just lift this time to you, Lord. We just praise you for the opportunity that we have and the freedom of this country to be able to gather, to worship you together as one body of Christ. I pray that you would just use these words that you've placed on my heart this morning, that they would be for your glory. And Lord, that you would just speak into our hearts, into our lives today in a way that is only coming from you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, during the summer and these last few weeks, we've been going through a series called Life with Friends. And as you saw in that roll-in video, we've been talking about Jesus and the time that he spent alongside of the lake. So as he's been on the side of the Sea of Galilee, as he's been teaching, as he's been interacting with people and hearing about all of these different stories and diving into these passages. And today we're going to continue to do the same. And is anybody out there like fishing? I love fishing. My dad and I are taking a trip out in August just to go fishing. It's going to be awesome. But today we're going to talk about a miraculous catch. This was a huge catch of fish that was so unanticipated. But we're going to dive in and just go into the details of all that happened and why. And what does this mean for us? And how did Jesus, this encounter with Jesus, really change people's lives? So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5. It's also going to be on your screen, or you can open up your sermon notes on the paper copy or on your CTK app. But in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and it says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. also known as the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. A lot going on in this passage, and I'm sure for a lot of us, we may have heard this before, but my prayer is that you take something away today that maybe you've never really realized in this passage, and that God would speak to you. Or maybe this is the first time ever reading this and be like, "Wow, that's just cool, there's a lot of fish, yeah!" But I pray that God would just open your eyes and your heart to see what's going on here today. So, let's dive into verses 1 and 2. Luke 5, 1 and 2. On one occasion, when the crowds were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. So like I said, Lake Gennesaret is their name for the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Tiberias. Tiberias was one of the towns alongside of the lake, and this was a pretty large lake. This is the lowest freshwater lake in the entire world. So elevation-wise, it's way down there. It's only second to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest body of water, but which is a saltwater lake. And this lake is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. It has its square miles of 64 square miles, and it's a maximum depth of about 141 feet. So it's a pretty big lake. You know, it took a little longer to cross it than just when we go over the Buster Boyd Bridge to cross Lake Wylie, thankfully. Otherwise, you know, traffic in the evening going 8 miles over the bridge would be even worse. But anyway, this was a pretty big sea. Jesus is alongside. It's a very populated area along the banks of the lake in this time that Jesus walked on the earth. And so Jesus was there. Prior to chapter 5, we can read that Jesus had been back in Nazareth and was teaching in the synagogues, but then was rejected, which is his birthplace, as the Old Testament had prophesied. And so now he's been going into people's homes, he's been out in the streets, he's been alongside the lake, and he's been teaching, and the crowds and his population, his popularity has been growing in number, so that there were all of these crowds that were gathered around him at this moment, like it says in verse 1. The crowds are pressing all in, they're wanting to hear the word of God as he's standing here by the lake. But who was there that wasn't really listening to what he was teaching? Simon. What was Simon doing? Washing his nets, right? He was there by his boats. They'd been fishing all night, caught nothing, and he was there washing his nets. So at the moment, Simon, also Peter, which I may refer to him as, because later, as he became a disciple, Jesus gave him the name Peter, which meant rock. And so as you read on through Scripture, he's often known as Peter. But Peter in this moment, Simon Peter, he's pretty distracted, right? He's a little frustrated. He hasn't caught any fish all night. He's still out there. There's this crowd that's gathered, and he's just ready to go to bed, probably. After being up all night, didn't catch anything. He's disinterested in what Jesus has to say. He's preoccupied with his task list at hand. And oftentimes, too, that may be us. You know, we're too preoccupied with our task list to pause and to listen to Jesus. Or we have too many things on our to-do list each day to pause and even just to take time in the Word. Or even to show up to church or to tune in online. So what are these times that we're preoccupied? But I have to say, be careful. If you catch yourself being distracted, disinterested, preoccupied, because that's exactly where Simon was at in this moment, right? And Simon Peter was just wanting to live a normal life. He had a plan, right? He had a job. He had this profession. He had things going well for him, besides this one night that he didn't catch fish. But Jesus knew how to get Peter's attention. right? It was about to get a little crazy. But as we move in to verse 3, Luke 5 verse 3 says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So I want to give you a little visual here. This boat is what is referred to as the Jesus boat. And so this is in Israel. They actually found it along the banks of the Sea of Galilee. They call it the Jesus boat, not because it Jesus necessarily rode in the boat or was with his disciples in the boat, but because when they found this, it was at a time when there was a drought in the area. So the levels of the lake had gone down, and they had found this buried in the muds along the bank. And so it had preserved this boat. It had not rotten. And through carbon dating, they were able to age it back to the first century. So literally, this boat was around the time that Jesus walked the earth. And so they estimate that this boat is from about 120 BC to about 40 AD. It's about 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and about 4.3 feet high. And it would carry about 15 people. So it's a relatively good sized boat, right? But wooden boat. But in this moment, as we just read in verse 3, Jesus gets into this boat that was Simon, and he asks him to put it out a little from the land, and he sat there to teach the people from the boat. And so in this moment, Jesus has just hijacked Peter's boat. He's been there all night. He has just not caught any fish. He's washed his nets. He's about ready to go home. But no, Jesus interrupts Simon's moment here, and he says, you know, can I use your boat? I'm going to turn it into a floating pulpit, right? So he gets out, and he begins to teach from Simon's boat. And this was not the first time that Simon had an encounter with Jesus. They had known each other. If you read back in chapter 4 of Luke, we see that Jesus had gone into Simon's home and had healed his mother-in-law. And so, obviously, in this moment, you know, Peter wasn't just clinging on to every word that Jesus had to say. So this miraculous healing of his mother-in-law must not have been too special to him to think, oh man, this is God. I'm in his presence. I should listen to what he's saying. He's still preoccupied with his world, what he's going on, with his job, with his tasks at hand. But Jesus is about to interrupt that. So, don't know how you guys feel about your mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. But maybe in this moment, Peter's like, well, I guess I owe you something. You know, you did heal my mother-in-law. I guess you can borrow my boat. Maybe some of you were like, man, I'll never want to see you again. Like, what'd you do? But anyway, Simon said, yes, you know, you can use my boat. And Jesus asked him, he brought it out, rode it out a little bit from the land, and then began to teach. In verse 4, Luke 5, 4 and 5, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So currently, they're near the shore, right? People are all gathered around. The people were pressing in on Jesus, and so he needed to get a little space out from them so he wasn't all bogged down. If y'all just come crowd me around on the stage, it's hard to speak to everybody, right? So Jesus had distanced himself. He's out on the boat and able to preach. And I try not to be very long-winded. We'll be out of here by about noon, I promise. But who knows how long Jesus was teaching this day, right? So already in the beginning, Peter was packing up. He's ready to go home, ready to get some rest. He was exhausted after a night of not catching anything. And in this moment, he's finished teaching, so not sure how much time has passed. And then Jesus says, hey, put out into the deep. So obviously it was shallower there around the shore where he was teaching. So Jesus is saying, hey, let's go out into the middle of the lake and let's throw out our nets there. Put out our nets for a catch. And Simon's probably thinking, I just washed the nets. This is not the time of day to be catching fish anymore, and yet you want me to put them back in? So therefore, I'm going to have to clean them again afterwards. Like, you're wasting my time. I am tired. I am frustrated. What are you doing, right? But in verse 5, Simon's answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. So in verse 4, Peter had been out there a long time already, right? And so as this is like 8 miles wide, this lake, to get to the deeper part, we're not sure how far out he had to go. But either way, they were getting away from the crowds, right? They were going out into the lake, separated. They head out into the deep, away from the shore, towards the middle, but away from the crowds. And at this point, Peter is exhausted. He's disappointed. He's frustrated. How many of us have been in those shoes? But it's at the point of exhaustion that Jesus meets us where we're at, right? Isn't that good news after this past year? Maybe you've had some points where you've just felt exhausted, or you've been felt frustrated with the circumstances that are at hand, or just disappointed. But even in whatever moment you've experienced, Jesus meets us at our place of exhaustion. It's not always about being on the top of the mountain in this amazing moment that we encounter God. It may be at these low moments too, in this spot that literally is one of the lowest points on earth, right? Geographically. But also in this point when Peter is exhausted, he's disappointed, he's frustrated, probably reluctant to be rowing Jesus out, but maybe he just owes this to him. But there they are. But it's often in the place of isolation is where it leads to preparation. Isolation, there when he was out in the deep, when he was out in the middle of the lake, this place of isolation is often the place of preparation. This is a place where God begins to prepare us. So they've gone out into the deep. And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." Verse 5, this word master, in Greek, it was a word that was meant like boss or commander. So Simon did have this reverence towards Jesus. It wasn't like, "Hey, you're just this random guy, and, you know, good for you for preaching the word, but, hey, dude, like, what do you know about fishing? Like, you know, who are you to tell me when to throw my nets down? I know a lot more about fishing than you do," right? But no, Simon responded, "But at your word, master." Right? We've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word. Four words that were about to change his life. But at your word. Or we can also think, if you say so. If you say so, I'll throw down my nets. Right? If you say so, God, I will do it because it's your word. Here's some of the excuses that Simon could have made. You know, "I've worked all night and I'm tired. I know a lot more about fishing than a carpenter does. The best fishing's at night, not during the daytime. All of these crowds and loud teachings have scared the fish away. We've already washed our nets. Jesus may know religion, but he doesn't know about fishing," right? There's all of these excuses that Simon Peter could have made. But did he? Mm-mm. He said, "But at your word, I will throw down my nets." And that's four words that can change our lives too. This is not a moment of clarity for Simon. He's just thinking, "These are crazy words. Jesus, what are you about to do? You're wasting my time," maybe, right? But he took a step in blind obedience to what Jesus was going to do, right? And it's at that point where we have to trust God. Even when things don't make sense, even when things seem ridiculous and crazy, it's in these moments when we take our step of faith, maybe blind obedience, and we trust God. And the life that we're longing to live, it's often found in these steps of obedience with Jesus. We find in Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Simon stepped out with trust. Trust that, okay, Jesus, like, we've been out all night. Like, this is not the prime time for catching, but at your word, Lord, I will throw down my nets. But what do we say to Jesus? Do we say, "If you say so, God, if you say so"? Or do we make excuses? Do we share the burden that we have right now? It's just too much. Like, sorry, God. Or it's just not the right time. Like, you know, next year, tomorrow, then I'll be ready, Lord. But not right now. Or do we just say, you know, God, you just don't understand. No, we can respond with, "If you say so." No matter our circumstances, just like Simon, in the midst of exhaustion, midst of reluctancy, midst of disappointment, he said yes. So what is our response when we read something in the Bible that doesn't necessarily make sense or that we understand? Are we opening the word even to know what God's telling us in the first place? Because that's where we need to start. Are we ready, even when things seem crazy, to say, all right, God, if you say so? Because if we only hear Jesus calling us to do things that we agree with, we may not be listening very well. If we only hear Jesus calling us to do things we agree with, we may not be listening very well. What is our response going to be? Let's dive into verse 6. Verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. These nets, first they're being cleaned along the shores, and then, you know, they're good nets, we laid them down, Jesus is teaching in the boat, now we're picking up our nets and we're throwing them in. Now they're breaking. You know, God's blessings tend to wreck our lives, but for the good, right? So, but sometimes things have to break in our lives to bring the blessing. You know, the life that I now live because of what Jesus has done to me, it may not necessarily fit into this mold that I had created for myself, into this nice, comfy box that I like living my life. Jesus might just wreck that. He might break your nets. Get ready. You know, often we like the thought of change, but when it actually comes down to it, it breaks our nets. And sometimes it's saying bye to what's behind us. It's breaking off what's holding us back to call us into what's ahead, right? It may be a job right now. God calling you to something new, but we have to lay that aside and go forward, our eyes straight on Jesus, leaving behind maybe the career that we've had, or maybe the relationship. Don't know what it is, but God might be breaking something to call you to the next step. It makes me think of Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament. So Elijah is this great prophet, and he was going through a lot of hard stuff at this time too. And God said, hey, I'm going to give to you Elisha to be like your apprentice, to raise up. And so Elijah goes out and finds Elisha in the field with his oxen, and he's plowing with the 12th pair. So he's like the 12th line back in these pairs of oxen. So it's just a stinky job back there. You're standing behind big animals all day, right? But yet, when Elijah came to him and said, hey, here's this calling that God has on your life, come with me. Did Elisha just leave his plow there and his oxen and think, all right, Elijah, let's go try this out. If it doesn't work, I'll come back to my oxen here. You know, just my plan B. Here's my backup plan. No. He killed off his oxen. He cut up his plow, lit it on fire, had a good barbecue, rolled out. It was gone, right? There was nothing left to come back to. Nothing. His oxen weren't there anymore. So he was stepping out completely boldly saying, all right, Elijah, I'm with you. Saying yes. If you say so, I'm with you. All right? I'm saying yes to this call. And the same thing is happening right now with Simon. He doesn't quite know it yet, but he is about to receive a greater call than just being a fisherman. And so here, his nets are breaking, and he is about to lose this job of being a professional fisherman because Jesus is about to call him to catch something much greater, right? So sometimes it's causing our nets to break that leads us to what's next. And for us to say, if you say so, and trust what God's going to bring with that, right? So their nets are breaking. There's so many fish. It's totally not what Peter was expecting. All of the circumstances were defying the odds, right? It's the middle of the day. The loud people have probably scared off the fish. Tried all night. Didn't happen. But in verse 7, it says, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, filled both the boats, so much so that they began to sink. So many fish. Not what Peter was expecting at all, right? He was reluctant. Hey, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. In case you didn't know, you are the Son of God, but you know, in case you didn't know, we've been trying and nothing happened. His eyes are wide open at this point. So If we're never willing to do the ridiculous, we will never see the miraculous. So sometimes, just like it did for Simon Peter, this may have looked absolutely ridiculous. But without taking the step of boldness forward into the ridiculous, we will never see the miraculous. Simon Peter was able to partake in this at this moment of, wow, this is so much fish that it doesn't even fit in my boat. I gotta call my friends over to come help. Ephesians 3:20. This is one of my favorite verses, and it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we may ask or imagine according to his power at work within us." Who's able to do immeasurably more than we may ask or imagine. This is what's happening to Simon. This is more than he could have asked or imagined. Like, he didn't think you'd catch one fish right now, much less two boatloads full, right? Back in the summer of 2014, I was serving down at Casper May Orphanage in Guatemala, just for 7 weeks. At the end of that summer, this door opened of this call to be able to go back down there for 2 years to serve as the missionary coordinator down there. And for those of you who know me, I did say yes to that call, and 2 years turned into 4 years. But at that time, it was a summer between my junior and senior year of college. So I had one more year left of school, be graduating, you know, what the normal, you know, 22-year-old post-grad kid wants to do, you know, let me go get a job, let's make money, and, you know, I can be adulting, I can be independent, I can be on my own. This is what the goal was, right? But yet I have this other opportunity, you know, move to Guatemala for the next 2 years. You don't get a salary or anything. Come on, right? It seemed a little ridiculous, but yet I'd responded with, all right, God, if you say so. And I wrote letters to people saying, like, hey, would you support me in this mission that I'm going to do? And it wasn't necessarily a steady monthly income that I had, right? It varied from month to month, but God provided in a miraculous way. God put people in my life that created, that became my community. You know, I stepped out thinking, like, I don't know if my Spanish is good enough to even, like, communicate with people there, much less, you know, that I'm going to survive for 2 years, like, in this. Are you going to provide for me, God? But I stepped out and I said, all right, God, if you say so, like, this is you that's going to have to, like, check these boxes to make life possible. But I remember one day, I was actually running with Vilma one morning down there along the highway, and we were coming back into the orphanage through the gates, and I was like, this is like the first month I was there, and I was like, God, you have placed girls, like other single ladies in my life, like you've pushed this community around me. I never would have expected, like I had this sweet community in college, and I was like, God, I'm moving to this other country, like I don't want to feel isolated. And God didn't let me. God said, here's your people, you know? And he put these girls around me, and life was amazing. It was more than I could ask or think or imagine. But it took looking at the ridiculous and saying, if you say so. And I truly, over those 4 years, was able to experience the miraculous. When we say, if you say so, then we can now say, wow, God, I never expected this. I never expected this. Blind obedience, it leads to absolute astonishment and abundant blessing. When we walk out in blind obedience, not knowing necessarily where we're going or what the road looks like, it leads to absolute astonishment and abundant blessing. If there's a step of faith that we're avoiding, it's often a blessing that we're forfeiting. Don't miss out on that blessing. It's Peter moving from this place of what's rational to this place of miraculous, this place of miracle. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." That's what the world is offering. The devil's after us like a roaring lion coming to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And Peter shared this abundance, didn't he? In verse 7, he signaled over to his partners from the other boat to come and to help them. And they filled both of their boats. Peter called over James and John. He didn't do it alone, and he didn't hold on to this miracle all for himself. when God was doing this powerful move in his life, he wasn't just saying, okay, God, like, I'll do it. He said, hey, come on, guys, like, be a part of it, right? And so we have to humble ourselves as well. When we're in this huge moment of like, wow, God, like, he doesn't want us to live in it alone or hold it just for ourselves. He wants us to share that that miraculousness, that abundant living with our friends, with those around us. He humbled himself, and they were able to partake of the miracle as well. Live in the abundance that only comes from Jesus. It's an abundance that only comes from Jesus. Don't resist being obedient. Let's keep diving through. In verse 8, it says, but Simon Peter saw it, these two boats filled with fish, so much so that the boats were sinking, and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Take a moment. Close your eyes. Imagine this boat, 27 feet long, 7 feet wide, and it just was filled with fish. And Peter is down on his knees in front of Jesus saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. There's just fish flopping up all around him. He must have been kneeling on the fish, right? But it hit him. It hit him. Whoa! This was where he had his aha moment. The light bulb went off. I am a sinful man, O Lord. He realized his unworthiness in this moment. But often our blind obedience as well, it leads to recognizing our unworthiness, and it often reorients our worship. It wasn't about what Simon could do for himself as a fisherman. It was about, wow, this is something that only came from God. And Jesus, he is God, right? Simon Peter was amazed. You know, when his mother-in-law was healed just recently, I was like, okay, cool, great, like, so glad for her, right? But this wasn't the aha moment that just set Peter off to want to just go and listen and hear every word that Jesus had to say, right? He was along the shores and there was Jesus again and he was just washing his nets, ready to go home. But now things are changed. Things are changed. This is what struck him. Jesus met him in his place, in his zone. You know, this is what Peter did. He was a professional fisherman, and Jesus came and met him with something that made sense to Peter, and Jesus just rocked his world, right? He had to break his nets, but then Simon's just saying, depart from me, O God, because I am a sinful man. Peter looked at this catch, and Peter knew only Jesus could have done this. Peter says, depart from me. He recognizes his sinfulness, his unworthiness. It's like when the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, saying it three times, it meant it just, he was complete in his holiness. And he said, woe is me, for I am unclean. I'm unworthy to be in your presence, God. And this is where Simon Peter was at in this moment also. He said, depart from me. I am unworthy to be here with you, Jesus. He had the same posture before God. But often repentance begins with a renewed awareness of this is who you are, God, and this is who I am in you. When we see Jesus clearly, we'll never, until we see Jesus clearly, we will never fully obey. It's seeing and recognizing who God is so we know who he is in us. And if you don't know who God is, open your Bible. It's a beauty now that we can all have it on our phones, right? It goes with us everywhere we go, but do we ever open it? Do we know who God is? Do we recognize who he is and who we are in him? If you haven't, open it, even if it's just for a couple minutes as it starts, and you will want to go more and more as you realize who God is, who you are in him, and who he calls you to be. John 8:31-32 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, that truth has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, in John 14:6. It is taking that, it is abiding in God and who he is and being in his presence that we become his disciples. Peter told Jesus to depart from him, but did Jesus depart from him? Huh. He stayed right there in the boat, and he called him to come with him. Often identifying our own brokenness is necessary, and it's okay. Because recognizing our brokenness is not a disqualifier for discipleship, it's a prerequisite. Recognizing our brokenness is not a disqualifier for being a disciple of Jesus. It's a prerequisite. It's necessary. We must recognize our brokenness, just as Simon Peter did. God, I'm a sinful man, God. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Wrapping up in Luke 5, 9 through 11, the last three verses, it says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him." They were astonished. They were able to partake of this abundant blessing. James and John were a part of it. They were able to take this, not only Peter, right? After Peter had this aha moment and tells the disciples, and he tells Jesus to depart from him, he expects condemnation, but he gets grace. Peter lives in the natural, but Jesus gives him the supernatural. Jesus responds to Simon by saying, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And this Greek word for catching, zogron, is rare in the New Testament, but it means to catch alive. To catch alive. And so obviously, as they're catching these fish in their nets, these fish are alive, but soon they would be dead. But Jesus was calling Simon and his partners to a whole new vocation of catching people so that they might live a life-giving in God's mission, and that they would have salvation, that these people would live forever. Catching people so that they would have life. His "if you say so" that Peter had said to Jesus, it leads him to this place of blessing, a place of confession, a place of living out his call, to a place of surrender, to a place of laying down his nets and his boat and following Jesus. As we see, as Jesus prepared to go to the cross, as he was in the garden and he was talking to his Father, in Luke 22, we see that Jesus was in the garden and he said to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done, God. If I must go to the cross, thy will be done." Jesus said, "If you say so, thy will be done." The same as what Peter had said to him in his response to Jesus. Jesus let her say this to God. And Jesus calls us to say it to him as well. Are we going to respond with, "If you say so, thy will be done, God, but at your word"? Those four words. Although they had just brought in the greatest catch of their fishing careers, Simon Peter and James and John, they left those boats full of fish and they followed Jesus. Their encounter with Jesus has completely reoriented their lives. This was the moment that they just like made it as fishermen, right? This was the peak of their careers, and yet they walked away. How are we going to respond? All throughout scriptures, we see these people, and because of their human nature, their failures, or the inadequacy, they thought they were nothing to God. But yet God used them. God wants to use you. Despite feeling unworthy, Jesus is calling you, and he wants your response to be, "If you say so." So that you, even hearing the ridiculous, you step out and you experience the miraculous. So are we resistant to head out into the deep? Are we so tired that we can't even imagine possibly benefiting from whatever Jesus' crazy words mean? Let's not avoid putting out into the deep, but rather trust God at his word and respond with, "If you say so." It may mean that our nets are going to break. It may mean that we lose our job. It may mean that Jesus cuts us off from a relationship. It may not look pretty. It may be unexpected. But it also may be more than we could ask or imagine. When we say, if you say so. So as we close out right now, the worship band is going to lead us in this song again, God of Revival. And I'll ask you guys to stand as they come up, but let's just close out just knowing, God, revive our hearts. Revive our hearts because of who you are and who you call us to be. That only you, God, can renew us, and that you can use us in a way that we can never imagine. So I ask you to stand right now and let's close with this song.
Love you guys.